this.
I'm a little bit taller than Patrick, so I'm gonna have to adjust my mic. Wow, it's so great to be here today. Look at all of these Patriots. Give yourself a round of applause. Give yourself a round of applause for not going crazy, for not believing left-wing media outlets, for understanding the importance of fighting for election integrity and the innocence of our children. Give yourself a round of applause for being warriors. Well, I'm gonna go right ahead and get started. And of course, I had to keep my notes because I've gotten a little bit older now, so my mind isn't as sharp. How many of you out here can relate to that? What an honor it is to be here on this stage, Rock the Red. My name is Angela Stanton King. I am a former congressional candidate. I am the founder of American King Foundation and host of The Ash Show, as well as a 3-time national best-selling author. My journey started at the tender age of 5 years old when I became a victim of sexual abuse. Sexual abuse was swept under the rug because a trusted family member imposed it. And unfortunately for me and many other childhood victims, humanity has a long history of not protecting our young. After sexual abuse, then came promiscuity. The promiscuity brought on teenage pregnancy at the age of 14. And my father was truly disappointed as he demanded an abortion. But my dear mother Joan, God bless her soul, she demanded life. See, this is what I love about Patriots of America. Not long after I had my beautiful baby girl, feelings of rejection and failure caused me to drop out of school and turn to a life on the streets. I lived my life that way, in and out of trouble for many years to come. I mean, I was lost, hurt, abandoned, and uneducated. And after several run-ins with the law, I found myself standing before a Georgia Supreme Court judge at the age of 26, pregnant, yet again, with my fifth child. In March of 2003, I was sentenced to 5 years to serve in the state, Georgia State Penitentiary, for my involvement in a nonviolent charge of conspiracy against the government. That was the day I broke my mother's heart in pieces. She watched as I was hauled off in chains, and there was nothing she could do. With new life growing in my womb, I had no idea what God had in store. On May 31st, 2004, I gave birth to a healthy, vibrant baby girl while I was chained to a bed with the sheriff watching. 24 hours later, she was snatched right out of my arms, and I was shipped back off to my holding container down in South Georgia. Clearly, without a doubt, this was family separation in the border. 6 months later, I was called to the chaplain's office. He informed me that my mother had died of a massive heart attack at the age of 55. 8 months after that, the chaplain called me again to his office. This time, it was my grandmother, Shug. She too had a heart attack while she was feeding my baby, Imani, who was now 14 months old. In just 14 short months of life, she had lost her mother, her grandmother, and her great-grandmother. 6 months after that, I was released from prison with a one-way bus ticket home and a $25 check to get on my feet. I returned home to 5 children, 3 bags of clothes, and 2 tombstones. Every day that I was in prison, I walked around with a pen and a pad, and I began to write. The words say, write the vision and make it plain. So this is my first book, Life Beyond These Walls, and these are documented series of women that I serve time with, and all of my books will be available on the back table. But let's keep going in the story. I had nowhere to go, no job to work, no assistance, no resources, and no no support. All because I was now a convicted felon that had been denied Section 8 and welfare assistance. By the grace of God, I ended up on the steps of a crisis center with my children and few belongings in tow. As I told my story and I begged for help, I had no idea that the woman sitting behind that desk listening to my cry would change my life forever. Little did I know, the woman sitting behind that desk that day was none other than Dr. Evangelist Alveda King. She ended up hiring me and giving me a job right then and there on the spot. And then came my second book, Lies of a Real Housewife. This book made me a number one bestseller 3 times. Google it. Let's fast forward a little bit to 2017. I found myself sitting in front of President Donald J. Trump, sharing my story. Yeah, let's give President Trump a round of applause. I gotta stop for now. In 2017, I found myself sitting in front of President Donald J. Trump, sharing my story of life behind the wall and family separation in the border, explaining the need to reform a broken American criminal justice system. By 2019, criminal justice had been reformed, signed, and passed by my president, Donald John Trump. And it was no longer legal for them to chain women to a bed during childbirth. And if that wasn't enough, I myself have received a full and unconditional pardon from President Donald J. Trump. In March of 2020, I was running as a qualified FEC congressional candidate in the 5th District of Georgia against John Lewis. One of the most amazing feelings I've ever had in my life was seeing my name on the same ballot with Donald J. Trump. I don't know if that's something for anybody to get excited about, but if you come from where I come from and you know my story, that is absolutely amazing. Even though John Lewis passed away, I find it needless to say that I didn't win the election. I mean, ironically, there was a water main break in the only room that held the ballots. Thousands of ballots were mysteriously found in black suitcases hidden under tables. In fact, people even came back from the dead to vote in the 2020 election. But hey, I ran an honest, clean race. And then that's when I wrote this book, Caught in the Coup. A few months after my shocking revelation about the Trump and Biden election, I was in for yet another shocker. My 19-year-old revealed to me on an episode of Dr. Phil that he was now a woman. I was not a happy camper. Until this day, with all due respect, Dr. Phil, The Breakfast Club, Hollywood Unlocked, nor the delusional left-wing mob have yet to convince me. Now, let's be clear. As mothers, we love our babies, and we wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. But somehow, standing on truth was now twisted into a form of hate and non-acceptance for the child that I now birthed, carry, but love, sacrifice for, and raise. And I can tell you all one thing for sure, certain, and 2 things for sure. I don't know about you, but it has been extremely hard for me trying to convince America that I am a black Republican and not a white supremacist. I don't know how you guys do it. Which brings me to this. On March 17, 2021, A.H. Americans were shot dead in Atlanta, Georgia. As a result, Congress voted and passed Bill S-937, the Anti-Asian Hate Crime Bill, which included $49.5 million from the American Rescue Fund for Asian Communities. On May 14, 2022, 10 African American elders were shot dead while shopping for groceries at a Tops grocery store in Buffalo, New York. Where is the COVID-19 anti-hate crime bill for African Americans? After all, weren't we the community they claim was disproportionately impacted by COVID? Even Melinda Gates said we deserved the vaccine first. On May 21st, 2022, 7 days after the Buffalo shooting that left 10 African Americans dead, Republican Representative Pete Sessions submitted and the House passed House Resolution 428, the Anti-Jewish American Hate Crime Bill. I want to congratulate both communities. No one deserves to be hated, but what a slap in the face to African Americans. And why are we not worthy? Illegal immigrants were offered $450,000 apiece by Joe Biden. Ukraine has received billions in funding, and while Pakistan has received millions of dollars in funding for gender study programs for their youth, Black Americans seem to only be worthy of free abortion and 30-day food coupons. Finally, if and when they do acknowledge the current plight of the Black community, including the Buffalo tragedy, give humanity and dignity. By resolution or law, call the names of the victims, grant genuine relief, not lip service. Don't pad the bills with abortion enablement, transgender surgeries for our minor children, and other population reduction measures. Give us life-affirming access to food, shelter, and economic justice. Our cry, our ask, our demand is for true equality, not the kind of equality that aborts our babies and sexually transitions our children. And as I stand for you today, my dream is that all parties of Congress, Democrats, Independents, and Republicans, will view African Americans as human beings and not worthless votes. Angela Stan King, thank you so much. I have books for sale. They're all signed on the back table. God bless you.
We've got this new show in the morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. You can find Real America's Voice on Roku, on Apple TV, streaming everywhere.
Our website, americasvoice.news. And it was Karen's vision to put the show together. And frankly, we need more than 2 hours because there's so much BS coming out of Washington. I know you got a swamp in Gainesville.